death cult satanic Jews. These pedophiles commit their crimes in broad daylight. JFK, they planned it from the start. 9/11, the war business. War paid by our brother's blood. Vaccines to the fake pandemic. Parasitic Jews, this parasitic Jews. 9/11. 9/11. Well, parasitic Jews. This parasitic Jews, turn it up, let's expose the truth. 9/11, election, government, pandemic, all of them are Jew. Parasitic Jews.
All right, folks, welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I am your host, filling in for Stu Peters, David Nino Rodriguez. Welcome to the show. I got a special guest today, SG Anon, who's going to help me war game what's happening currently on the battlefield. So it's a little bit of a different show today, but it's going to be fun. Stay tuned. It's going to be awesome. Those whom the gods would destroy must first vilify, folks. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing the narrative wars commence. Everything happening with Russiagate is coming out with Obama, Brennan, Comey, Clinton, all of them. You better believe the deep state's going to fire back. And it's all about them stealing the news cycle. The mainstream media stealing the news cycle, which is what? Trump and Epstein, folks. Narrative wars are here. They're beginning. This will begin to sow doubt, distractions, and civil unrest. They're hoping, the deep state is hoping for civil unrest. They're hoping ultimately for a civil war. As more of the allegations break against Obama and turn into investigations, in which I believe arrests at some point, I'm sure SG does too. I'll be bringing them on in just a second. You better believe the deep state will be pushing their own agenda. This is going to cause a lot of doubt and disbelief and fighting and division, folks. The Trump Epstein connection will be all you hear. It's going to be all you hear from this point going forward, drowning out anything and everything about Obama's corruption to Russiagate. All the stories will continue to come out hot off the press on Trump's dirty little secret and his dirty deeds with Epstein. Trump files suit against Rupert Murdoch, Dow Jones over Epstein birthday letter story. This is just breaking. Folks, this stuff is going to be coming out like gangbusters. It's going to get really, really interesting. Fireworks are ready to start. Trump has said, I also remain fully committed to my pledge never to allow the creation of a central bank digital currency in America. It won't happen. Lots of things developing right now. Obama administration manufactured intelligence to create 2016 Russian election interference narrative, documents now show. The Obama administration manufactured politicized intelligence to create the narrative that Russia was attempting to influence the 2016 presidential election, despite information from the intelligence community stating otherwise. Fox News Digital has learned. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard Friday declassified documents revealing overwhelming evidence that demonstrates how, after President Donald Trump won the 2016 election against Hillary Clinton, then President Barack Obama and his national security team laid the groundwork for what would be the years-long Trump-Russian collusion probe. Folks, it's going to get good. It's going to get real good. FBI launches criminal investigations on John Brennan and James Comey. That's already happening right now. DOJ sources. Documents reveal that in the months leading up to the November 2016 election, the intelligence community consistently assessed that Russia was probably not trying to influence the election by using cyber means. One instance was on December 7, 2016, weeks after the election. Then Director of National Intelligence James Clapper's talking point stated, foreign adversaries did not use cyber attacks on election infrastructure to alter the U.S. presidential election outcome. Fox News Digital obtained a declassified copy of the presidential daily brief, which was prepared by the Department of Homeland Security, with reporting from the CIA Defense Intelligence Agency, FBI, National Security Agency, Department of Homeland Security, State Department, and open sources for Obama, dated December 8th, 2016. We assess that the Russian and criminal actors did not impact recent U.S. election results by conducting malicious cyber activities against election infrastructure, the presidential daily brief stated. Russian government-affiliated actors most likely compromised an Illinois voter registration database and unsuccessfully attempted the same in other states. Intel community, September 16th, folks, assessment didn't say Russia wanted Trump to win. That changed after he won. Newly declassified assessment by the U.S. intelligence community from September 2015 obtained by Just the News showed that IC did not seem overly concerned by Russian meddling in that year's presidential election and made no mention of the Kremlin backing GOP nominee Donald Trump. I gotta tell you, oh, this is all coming out. A tone which would shift dramatically after Trump won the race in November. The heretofore unknown intelligence committee assessment, ICA, completed in September 2016 but declassified this week by Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, stands in stark contrast to the later assessment, which would be completed in December 2016 and made public in January 2017. For months preceding the 2016 election, the intelligence community shared a consensus view: Russia lacked the intent and capability to hack U.S. elections, Gabbard tweeted on Friday. But weeks after President Trump's historic 2016 victory, defeated Hillary Clinton, everything changed. Everything did change. In fact, who really was behind the election of 2020, folks? You got to remember, 2016, they just didn't steal big enough. But in 2020, they sure the hell did. SG, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Doing great, Nino. Thank you for having me here.
So here we are in the narrative warfare. I we're going to see more and more stuff coming out, SG. I'm sure you understand that as well. And I love to volley back and forth with you. Do you see the narrative wars beginning?
I think the narrative wars, Nino, have already begun. I think we're living through, you know, perhaps the second salvo now going through 2025. The first salvo, of course, being the obvious takeover, the almost insurrective activities from the U.S. judiciary system against the actions of the newly inaugurated president earlier this year in January of 2025. Now we're witnessing even more doubling down on the corruption, not only of judicial pulpits and offices, but the entirety of the government that is supposed to substantiate and support the activities of what is supposed to be a major check and balance in our system. We've got a tripartite system with an executive, a legislative branch, a judicial branch. There's a co-equality that has to be honored there. And we're seeing the exposure of that almost really accelerated going into the summer and headed towards this fall season. We've got a number of different activities that have been thrown out in court, overruled in court. The Supreme Court has now affirmed in at least one case that the president does have the authority to fire a great deal of the government, because a great deal of the government actually reports to the president and is in that sort of chain of authority. So that's now defined out there for ongoing precedents. And I see this period of time driving these systemic changes ramping up in a more intense fashion as we go through the midsummer here and into Q3 and Q4 of 2025.
So we're going to see different narratives spinning here. We're going to see the whole Trump Epstein thing. You know, Elon Musk basically kicked that off on X. We're going to see a lot more of the Trump Epstein, and they're going to probably try to use that to muddy up the water and steal the narrative away from all the junk that's going to be coming out on Obama, Brennan, Comey, Hillary. Would you agree with me, SG?
I think I would. What you're witnessing, in my opinion, Nino, and you know, this particular audience I don't often get the chance to speak to, so I want to be very, very clear and succinct about this. My opinion is that Trump, in a lot of ways, has a checkered past that made him the most desirable candidate going into the 2016 election cycle, really before that, in the last days of the second Obama administration. This is not to say that the man has done illegal things. This is certainly not to rule against character. This is the same guy we're talking about who doesn't drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes, right? And so I think we need to keep that in mind. But fundamentally, he's a billionaire who has, you know, a history with a great deal of this orbit of people. He's certainly going to have seen some things, heard some things, been privy to some things. And so now, as we've gone through the last 8 years, what have we seen as a result of Trump being in power? We've seen a complete shift in how information flows. We've seen a very significant and extensive exposure of massive, vast levels of corruption inside the United States at all levels, including private and public entities. We're now seeing, in my opinion, a narrative warfare breaking out about the broader, bigger issues, which is the corruption that controls the background operations of the United States government. And so at the same time that we have a lot of individuals out there very whipped up about potential affiliations, ties, associations, et cetera, between the current administration and the blackmail asset and the honeypot asset known as Epstein, we have DNI Gabbard declassifying these documents and terming on Fox News the actions of the last Obama administration as a treasonous conspiracy. We also have to keep in mind, on the 25th of May, 2025, just a couple of months ago, we saw President Trump put out on Truth Social a very obvious ode to the idea of televised military tribunals with the with Obama in the frame and Trump himself, and Biden there sitting with him. And that was an obvious invitation for the public, to weigh in, to gauge the public temperature on what the appetite for something like that actually is going to be. Because when all of this comes out about the Russiagate, the Crossfire Hurricane cover-up, the conspiracy that went on in the background of the United States government, we're going to learn that it wasn't just architected and orchestrated by a former sitting U.S. president on his outgoing days of office, but it was done in coordination with allies and in individual nation states and entities that we would term allies in this process and have been for a number of decades, who conspired with a treasonous government in Washington, D.C. to deprive the will of the American people.
And as these false narratives begin on Trump, I'm not saying that he wasn't a friend, that he wasn't friends with Epstein or anything like that, but as I said, that's why I open up the show with those whom the gods would destroy, they must first vilify. And this is why it's so important to get these narratives out there in the public, because as this transpires, as this moves forward, as this progresses, people are going to, the false narratives are going to come out like gangbusters. But then, SG, I think events will start taking place. Distractions will start taking place. More protests, more, for me, it's going to be more civil unrest is going to take place in pockets of the cities. So I'm going to read this right here. False narratives on Trump. This is what's coming out right now. And they're really going to push this stuff, folks. Believe me when I say they're going to be pushing this like gangbusters. That was his bro. Former Epstein girlfriend says Trump and Epstein were very close and up to no good. Stacey Williams, a former girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein's, alleged that her ex-boyfriend and President Donald Trump were very, very close and up to no good. The Trump administration is reeling after a tumultuous 2 weeks sparked by the Department of Justice, which found that Epstein did not have a long rumored client list that Attorney General Pam Bondi claimed he had. The DOJ also repeated its conclusion that the deceased sex trafficker committed self-deleted. I don't know what platform this is. I don't know if it's on YouTube. Self-deleted in a Manhattan cell in 2019. In October, Williams accused Trump of groping her at a Trump Tower in 1993 as part of what she described as part of a twisted game during which Epstein smiled as Trump touched her against her will. A spokesperson for Trump denied the allegations. First of all, I am sure Trump is a straight heterosexual man. I'm pretty positive about that. But she's not a child. SG, what's your thoughts on this? They're going to be coming out like crazy, these articles.
Well, I think my thoughts on the narrative warfare,
What I'm trying to say is, do you believe the events will follow? So in other words, once they can't control the narrative anymore, and they start pushing the Obama stuff more and more and more, do you believe they're going to have to resort to distractions and events?
Absolutely, I do. I think as we go through this process, Nino, what we're going to see is an escalation of that judicial, what we would call the accountability process, visibly for the public. And this particular period of time is really going to make or break the idea of what it means to be an American, what it means to be we the people, free, self-determining, in a liberty society. We've got the obvious, ode from President Trump towards Adam Schiff very recently on Truth Social, calling Adam Schiff a mortgage fraudster, essentially. Mortgage fraud is interstate financial crime. It's a felony in many jurisdictions. It can be both a federal and a state crime. So we're almost certainly going to see some further investigations and potentially some legal actions related to that. We know Schiff also happens to be one of the leakers for the Russiagate scandal that broke several years ago, now showcasing out to the world as a result of DNI Gabbard's documents that all of that was a treasonous farce that was concocted on purpose and in contradiction to the assessments of it, of the intelligence community itself, which is sort of mind-boggling, you know, because that community is actively working against all We the People candidates, not just Trump, but anyone that comes into office and has been for the last half century. So for them to consider that it was so obvious that even they couldn't spin the yarn, it's very, very fascinating that we saw the Obama administration undertake the manufacturing process that they did. And so as we build through the accountability for this and other things, things like Epstein and who he actually was with are going to come out in the limelight. We've got grand jury testimony that's supposed to be released very soon, or excuse me, grand jury transcripts supposed to be released soon if they're not already released. We do have some redactions we're going to have to work through with that. But we have to keep in mind, folks, that in those redactions, it's not always concealing a nefarious character. Sometimes, quite frankly, it is just concealing someone who is a, who is victimized in the process and who does not want the limelight on them or anyone that were in their orbit as they proceed forward and try to live their life and heal. And out of the information that is not redacted, we should be able to dig in with good online researching, good citizen journalism, and continue to generate progress forward on a list that clearly is playing some sort of coy position in a broader game of almost like good versus evil in the background. And it's difficult in a time of disinformation, you know, to see exactly who is responsible for doing what. But I would submit that we are moving the ball forward in an appropriate way with the declassification of what Director Gabbard put out just a couple of days ago.
And as more of these fabricated or falsified stories come out on Trump, Trump files lawsuits against Rupert Murdoch, Dow Jones over birthday Epstein birthday letter story. So Trump sues Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch for defamation over Epstein birthday article, demands $10 billion, folks. President Donald Trump on Friday sued Rupert Murdoch and two Wall Street Journal reporters for defamation. The Journal on Thursday reported that Trump wrote a body, quote-unquote, birthday letter to Jeffrey Epstein in 2003. Trump has long tried to distance himself from his ties to the convicted sex offender, and now he's making these lawsuits. What's your thought on that, SG? Trump's going to get very rich. Get more rich.
Well, I have to say, I think my thoughts on that issue, Nino, are that we can clearly tell that this was a bait and switch maneuver put out by the Trump administration to get entities like Fox, The Wall Street Journal, Rupert Murdoch and others to sink their teeth in and show and really showcase their true colors, even at this stage in the game. But here's where they overstepped, Nino, and this is why it is important to keep in mind that there is potentially some planning and some orchestration that is purposeful. Not necessarily every single maneuver that comes from the administration, but certainly some are purposeful with a broader objective or a longer term stability objective in mind. So now we have a lawsuit actively occurring for defamation against a sitting president of the United States. It's obvious that the settlement asked for, the sum asked for in damages is exorbitant and eye-catching. In many ways, I think that's on purpose, Nino, to get national attention and potentially international attention onto what happens with this particular case now that it's just been filed and initiated. And the discovery process will force both parties to turn over all of the things that might be relevant to the actual allegations and accusations. And so we're going to talk about early 2000s Epstein. What did the Murdochs, what did the Journal, what did other mainstream media entities have in those days and in those times that they could have put out, which would have fundamentally changed the public perception of Epstein's activities and certainly would have restricted some of his acceptance in the broader community in front of the cameras.
And, you know, as Tulsi Gabbard now hands everything over to the DOJ, this is going to get really controversial because why? Well, as this gets more real, this has to, in order for something like this, what Obama did, which was treason, concocting the Russiagate scam for interference of a presidential, and this goes into 2020 as well. Folks, get ready, because this is going to go into 2020. It's going to lead right into that. This is treason, which means, put on your tinfoil hats, folks. This is very controversial, which means this has to go military. Correct, SG?
You know, it's sort of hard to speculate that, but I have to say, Nino, against the backdrop of all of the levels of corruption that we have seen and the types of criminality, you know, biological, electioneering, other things of massive, you know, international act of war levels, I don't see how military courtrooms and commissions can be excluded entirely from the process. There's a lot that the civilian courts can extract as far as evidence, as far as intelligence to inform ongoing investigations that are certainly popping off in the current day and time, many of which I think began under the first Trump administration and never really were discontinued, like special counsel Huber as one example of that. But, you know, going forward from this point, when we're talking about the sitting president of the United States inviting the public to weigh in, basically gauging the public temperature on acceptance for things like a military tribunal of a former president of the United States. And we also have, just in the last 48 hours, a director of national intelligence who is a full bird lieutenant colonel, as I understand it, not a full bird, but a lieutenant colonel in the Army reserves and deployed to the Iraq theater and actually fought in those areas. To use the terminology treason coming from that pulpit, I think that belies a little bit about the severity here. And I'm not sure the American public really truly understands what it means to act in treason and commit acts of war against one's own nation and one's own land. It does not have to be you're pulling a cannon out of your garage and running up to the county courthouse and overtaking the local government pulpit by force. It can be selling out one's nation. It can be consciously participating in fraudulent elections. It can take the form of participating in rigging an election, like the affidavit that we saw filed by the postal worker, I believe in Michigan, it might have been Pennsylvania, it was one of those two states not that long ago. No, I apologize. It was Colorado where that affidavit was filed. I believe it was in the jurisdiction of Mesa County, where the postal worker, who is a manager but not a senior level supervisor, testified that he was instructed to throw away and discard mailed in ballots that were marked for the Republican candidates. So that is an act of treason, and treason is a crime that can be punishable by death. And so when you have that hanging in the background, a lot can happen on the civilian side to drive the evidence forward as to who actually was responsible for concocting what amounts to the overthrow of our republic and our Republican democratic processes here in the United States. But it cannot just stay in a civilian court when you have a former sitting president concocting an international act of world war to usurp and undermine an incoming president of the United States of America. There has to be a point where it transitions into a severe jurisdiction.
Right here is Rep. Anna Paulina Luna, who, you know, posted, "Thank you, Pam Bondi," while others were busy trying to knife the president. And we saw a lot of podcasters out there lighting themselves on fire over this Epstein stuff. This was quietly in the works behind the scenes. I can say with full confidence this is the most transparent administration in U.S. history. Now the real question, will any reporters finally cover the FBI destruction of Epstein evidence under the former deputy director of the FBI during the Biden administration? Southern District of New York, right, SG?
It absolutely is. And as we look at what happens going forward, Nino, and you can tell by the flavor of the graphic that you've pulled up here, there is a certain amount of positioning the investigations as well as the public consciousness. Now that the public is beginning to wake up sort of in a more massive and opinion swaying level, we have to keep in mind that that plays into the ongoing investigative processes here. And if we're going to get to the root cause of things, it has to go deeper than a client list. It has to go deeper than a few criminals that ran blackmail rings, even if those rings were international level, even if those rings were overlapped into the intelligentsia community. Who was giving the orders to the intelligentsia community? Who was giving the orders to the individuals who were controlling the sitting president of the United States? These are the real culprits. These are the places that we have to go. And eventually, Nino, I think we arrive at levels such as the UN, NATO, and international bodies committing acts of war against the peoples of the United States of America.
The frightening thing is that it's far more dark than what anyone would imagine.
We can't have a legitimate conversation if we don't include Epstein's victims. So we did.
I was taken to New Mexico, New York, Paris. People think that it was government officials having sex with underage girls, which is obviously terrible. But what was going on there, it seems, was a lot deeper and a lot darker.
I sat down with Juliet Bryant, an alleged Epstein survivor, and asked her those very important questions. You don't want to miss her answers.
And what you need to realize is that the world is being run by very, very evil people, and they're liars.
The entire country, and really the entire world, have watched as the United States government, led by Donald Trump and his Jew paymasters, have vanquished the Epstein story from the official narrative. They say that it never happened. They say there was no client list. They say there was no blackmail. They say that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. And again, everyone is talking about this. How can we have a legitimate conversation about Jeffrey Epstein if we're not including his victims in that conversation? That's a question that I've been asking myself and my team lately. And the answer to that is we can't.
And I also want to know where the victims are, because a lot of them have been found dead. Like my friend Virginia Gaffer was found dead. You know, and also Carolyn Adriano has been found dead. Ruslana, Lee Patrick, the list goes on. There are at least 7 Epstein victims who've been found dead.
That's a StuPeters.tv exclusive, which will air Friday, July 25th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Again, StuPeters.tv, July 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern. You know, it's actually pretty surprising how little discussion there is surrounding the potential negative side effects that things like Bluetooth and 5G and Wi-Fi can have on our bodies. These signals are everywhere. And they're not just harmless background noise, okay? They're EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and research confirms that they're damning to our bodies. They actually disrupt the way that our cells are designed to work. Did you know that research actually confirms that EMFs may open calcium channels in our cells? So imagine like a little door that lets calcium flood in, which puts your cells under constant stress. And this is where magnesium comes in. It helps to close those doors. It keeps the calcium in check, helps your nervous system stay calm. The problem is most of us don't get enough magnesium, and when your body is constantly bombarded by EMFs, your magnesium rate skyrockets, meaning that you use it up faster than you can replace it. Then you go to the big box store and get a magnesium supplement, but most of them only use one or two basic forms that your body really can't absorb. That's why I use and suggest Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. It's the only mag supplement on the market with all 7 critical essential forms of magnesium designed for real absorption. So your body actually gets what it needs to handle stress and sleep better and stay balanced in a world full of stimulation. Support the calm and the clarity and the resilience that you need in this wireless age. Go to bioptimizers.com/StuPeters. Use promo code StuPeters to save 10%. There's even a 365 guarantee, so there's no risk to try it. And if you subscribe, not only will you get amazing discounts and free gifts, you will also make sure that your monthly supply is guaranteed. This stuff is flying off the shelves. Again, that's bioptimizers.com/StuPeters, bioptimizers.com/StuPeters.
You will own nothing and you'll be happy. This is where we're at right now. We don't have a right to complain if you're funding the big woke banks, the investment managers, if you're funding all these companies that believe against your values, if they're killing babies, if they have the woke agenda, if they're pro-LGBT, then you own that company. What are you doing today to refocus, realign your investment so that it matches your ethics, your American Christian-based value views? At Cortez Wealth Management, we want to create a solution that we can avoid the CBDC, can help you with your retirement, get you a reasonable rate of return, not fund China or any other communistic countries. And number 5, work with a God-fearing fiduciary that has your best interest, that aligns with your values, that aligns with your beliefs, your religious beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, and that we can honor God, country, and family. Give us a call, 813-448-3446.
You know, just so people can understand where we're coming from here and the reason why we're doing this podcast, folks, I know this is a different audience, but I'm just trying to bring out the information for you all to see it, why this is very serious stuff. Here is the Truth Social post that Trump shared on Truth Social. All roads lead to Obama. Retruth if you want public military tribunals. This is an actual Trump Truth Social post. Correct, SG?
It is correct, and it's not the only time that he's posted it, Nino. He posted it in August of 2024. I believe it was August the 26th, and then it was posted again on May 25th of this year. So if you look at that time frame, that's about a 9-month transition or so. In other words, that's a period of time long enough that the public's temperature and appetite may have changed, but not so long that you've lost track of where the general population is on a particular topic or issue. It very much reads like a public temperature test to see how far we can go, how quickly we can do it, and who it's actually going to come back to, because there's still a lot of individuals out there that are going to be floored really to their knees, you know, when they see the level of conspiracy, treason, and overthrow of the U.S. government that was committed by the very individuals that they have placed on a sort of a celebrity idolatry worship pedestal for a long time.
And, you know, the deep state's still making big moves. They're still making moves on the chessboard. Minneapolis DFL convention endorses Democratic Socialist Omar Fateh. I think that's his name. F-A-T-E-H. Could be saying it completely wrong. For mayor over Jacob Frey. The Democratic Party of Minnesota's largest city has endorsed a Democratic Socialist over a two-term incumbent mayor, according to Minneapolis DFL convention co-chair Ann Friedrich. State Senator Omar Fateh won at least 60% of the Minneapolis DFL delegate vote Saturday, defeating Mayor Jacob Frey and the party's first endorsement of a mayoral candidate in 16 years. Now, add that together with Mamdani's. Is it Mamdani? How do you say his name, SG? And Mamdani?
Mamdani.
Mamdani, who also won in New York. So this signifies to me, it's like a Zohran Mamdani's victory in New York City's Democratic primary for mayor has a group of Pakistani-American aunties and uncles so excited that they are wondering if they should have given their own children more freedom in choosing their careers. It seems to me like they're putting their chess pieces in order for this, I don't know, SG, socialist takeover. And it's Muslim. What's your thoughts on that?
It's interesting, actually, the playbook that we're seeing deployed right now, it tracks very much with what the intelligence community has done along racial and ethnic divides, going back really to the close of the Second World War, just in its current iteration and form. And so what we've got, essentially, in my opinion, you know, is the setup happening quite literally for the foreign occupation of certain states, certain metro areas, and certain jurisdictions within the Constitutional Republic's borders. And those borders right now, for purposes out there, function as the U.S. corporation's borders. That's a whole other philosophical issue that takes a little while to unpack, but I'm just trusting that Mr. Peter's audience will be able to go and look that up. Start at 28 U.S. Code 3002, paragraph 15, for those out there that want to dive into that. But fundamentally, when we look at cementing a foreign occupation or a foreign overthrow, and therefore providing or creating the situation where the military forces, potentially the regular army, certainly the National Guard, would have to intervene and de-entrench some of those forces, because you would have control of executive and judicial pulpits, much as we saw with the assistance in blue states and even in some red states by activist judges in helping illegal aliens avoid federal law enforcement authorities. I think we have to keep in mind that this is clearly building towards a destabilization event. It's building towards a 9/11 light or a 9/11 style event that is going to force philosophical questions at the nation state level. And I'll tell you, Nino, a lot of people out there are very pessimistic, very cynical, very worried about how this could play out. I don't want to discredit any of that or diminish that. I acknowledge the riskiness of what's happening here. But on the other side of this process that the United States of America is currently undergoing, I would submit to you that this nation will be unified in a way that it has not been unified, certainly in the last 50 to 100 years, and perhaps ever. We have a good idea, as we've watched what the Biden administration did, as we're witnessing the ongoing active interagency warfare against the sitting president, both inside government and outside government, even to the present day and time. We've watched this country, essentially assailed and really put through the woodwork, so to speak. And as we go forward and we begin to unearth that the individuals responsible for a great deal of that are the same ones that have facilitated an illegal takeover of certain state level, city level, and even national level pulpits, like I forget her name from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, I think is her name, and other individuals like that. We have to keep in mind that some of this is going to tie back to facilitation of acts of war against the United States. So I don't want to wax too repetitive here, but the fact that we have introduced treason now to the public narrative a couple of times in major ways, that is a harbinger of things to come. Rhetoric does not de-escalate at this stage in the game, it escalates to a point where one side or both sides are going to have to get loud and begin sort of shaking the public, for lack of a better term, and really generating the appetite from the public for them to take control of their own communities nonviolently, peacefully, and through transparent electoral processes and self-administrate and self-govern, like was the initial intention of our founders in the very beginnings.
And the reason I bring up those two mayoral candidates is because people need to understand this all started. It started with Obama bringing in millions of Muslims that took over Dearborn, Michigan, now Plano, Texas. I just had Lieutenant Douglas Deaton on my program in my second in-person podcast discussing the Sharia law Muslim takeover that's happening where they're creating their own communities. Own communities governed by Sharia law. This is a serious thing happening. Now, Obama brought in millions of these people, took over Dearborn, Michigan, took over Plano, Texas, many other cities, building almost scouting centers or centers over police stations, believe it or not, right on top of a hill overlooking police stations. Obama was the first that did this. He also sent billions of dollars to Iran for their nuclear program. And then comes Biden. This is how deep this stuff gets. Biden was what? Biden was the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse to allow the invasion of millions upon millions more people to come through our southern border and invade America, to deplete and destroy America. And also the immigrants, which were many of them military-aged men, to be activated. For what? For such a time as this, right, SG? Where we're at right now. So it's no coincidence to me that they're setting their pawns, they're setting their chess pieces in order for to be mayor of New York, mayor of Minneapolis, whatever, governor, whatever. They're setting their chess pieces in position for the takeover of America, or at the very least, to cause enough societal conflict, civil unrest to lead to a civil war. Correct, SG?
That, I believe, is the only reasonable direction that our opponents can go at this stage in the game, Nino. And so, you know, as we go through this process, having these conversations more widely spread and quite frankly, the topic matter making its way to large alternative streams like Newsmax and others, certainly this platform, you know, Grassroots Warrior Network, other platforms like that have large reaches, we have to be able to continue that process in order to manage what essentially amounts to a deconstruction event that our opponents are bringing about in order to avoid real and permanent accountability and justice, right? We have a sitting president now who's not going to allow the centralization of finance, at least in his rhetoric and some of the activities we've seen so far. We have international and geopolitical goings-ons that are reshaping fundamentally how things like foreign policy, diplomatic understandings, trade arrangements, resource allocation, commercial conversion rates, all of those different things that tie into the fluidity of the worldwide economy. A great deal of that is in flux right now. So on the other side of whatever that is fluxing to, with the public awake to the acts of the depravity and the conduct of the so-called overlords and oligarchs of the world over the last 300 to 500, really 1,000 years in its current form, but for purposes of discussion, at least for the last 500 years, I think that we're able to head that off at the pass. And in that process, the opponent that is on their way out the door and cannot, rail against our momentum at this stage, because so many people have come around to having the open discourse and the open conversation, the only tools that they have left are to deploy those tools that are going to catch them in the crosshairs, that are literally going to cross them out as identified targets on a broader game board, not only for the public narrative, but potentially for the actual wheels and levers of justice itself. And justice does turn slowly, but I'd like to remind people once again that when you have a sitting president talking about putting a former president through a public military tribunal, and then less than 90 days later, you have the current director of national intelligence highlighting that a treasonous conspiracy has taken place here, we are clearly building towards a very publicly obvious period of justice and accountability that's going to reshape fundamentally how government works here in the United States of America.
Now, since we're on the Stu Peters Show, SG, let's not leave out Israel. Israel will be saved for last in this operation and the way we believe it. Now, this is not necessarily, I'm not speaking on Stu's behalf or anything like that, but from the way I see it, the main culprit behind a lot of the strings being pulled there is Israel's Mossad. Correct, SG?
Well, I would go so far as to say that the Mossad is a major problematic element. The Mossad is essentially the Israeli equivalent of the CIA. But the entity that I'm a bit more concerned about, Nino, because of its roots, is the Israeli Shin Bet community. The Shin Bets are deep cover intelligence operatives who are also special operations trained. They're highly capable destabilization agents. They are literally agents of terrorism. And the Shin Bet is one of the main infiltrative components that the Israeli state has used really since the 60s, certainly since the 7-day or 6-day war, I think it is, from 1967, to leverage control and institute control operations and control nodes in foreign states, as well as in their own regional Arabic, you know, world associations. And so when we look at things like, you know, the Pollard scandal that goes back to the late 1980s, where Hollywood was caught trafficking nuclear materials out of the country to the Israeli Defense Force by way of shell companies. And the individual doing that was a Hollywood producer that just so happens to be very good friends, by the way, with Bibi Netanyahu. We have to keep in mind that what's going on right now is a broader, I hate to use the word smokeout, but in many ways it is a smokeout. It's a broad exposure of the communities that are actually in control around the world. The Israeli nation state has had intelligence community feelers, Shin Bet, Mossad, and otherwise in over 70 countries at last research count that I took about 6-8 months ago. When we look at what's happening in Tehran right now, for example, that is not merely an unentrenchment of some paid off useless mule, sort of stooge level mullahs that took over Tehran in the aftermath of the Iranian Revolution. But it is also the simultaneous drag out and destruction of on the ground Israeli operatives, saboteurs, things of that nature that were destabilizing the Iranian countryside or existed as leverage agents for purposes of destabilization up until very recently. I think the same is true when we look at the Western Bloc nations, and especially the rhetoric that has come from London and Paris, Berlin and Washington, D.C. over the last 12 to 24 months. It's been very obvious that a certain nation state either has leverage, control, some sort of threat actor ability, or some other method of manipulation that was forcing and a very identical, you know, almost in many ways scripted rhetoric to come from many of those pulpits about, you know, issues like Palestine and other controversial issues out there, Nino. And there's a great deal that has now shifted in that rhetoric. And we're seeing more calls in the Western world for, you know, things like investigation of Netanyahu for genocidal activities in Gaza, certainly investigation of the Israeli Defense Force for that. President Trump put out a long-winded tweet, I think it was the 24th or 26th of June, 2025, where he basically taunted Netanyahu, calling him the greatest warrior in Israel's history. You know, this being up against the likes of King Solomon and King David and, you know, all of these other individuals from biblical history.
Blowing hot air.
Very much blowing hot air. And so when you look at, you know, things like that, it's obvious that there's been a shift, that there has been a change. You know, can we say that there have been leverage points that have neutralized? Perhaps, perhaps not. I think that's beyond corroboration. I don't think we should operate as though we're totally free of that influence, because it is, you know, it's a very large spider web that goes around the world and has for a long time. You know, but between the CIA, the Shin Bet, the Mossad, and the Five Eyes communities in general, that encompasses a large amount, well over 80%, the CCP, I guess, included in that, well over 80% of the worldwide control arms in the background. And those arms, in my opinion, Nino, have been getting either destroyed or exposed and neutered in their capabilities more and more over the last 7+ years. And we're seeing more of that with Director Gabbard's releases just recently.
And I think as the Obama scandal comes out, Russiagate, I think threats need to be neutralized. And I think one of them is Israel. When Benjamin Netanyahu comes out and says, Tel Aviv today, New York tomorrow, that's a threat to me. Don't you take it the same way, SG?
I absolutely do. And you have to keep in mind that Netanyahu was the individual, or was one of the individuals with knowledge of what was actually happening on the ground in late September, or excuse me, in late 2001 during September. And you know, all of that is going to tie back to the current day and time, Nino, because a lot of the operational conditions, and when I say operational conditions, I'm talking about bureaucratic and administrative landscape, including executive orders, a great deal of those tie back to the early 2000s and mid-2000s. There are broad, you know, far-reaching executive orders, one of them 13224, relying on an authorization for use of military force from September, I believe, 18th of 2001, that is an ongoing order to the present day and time. and is going to tie into a great deal of the financial activities, the financial movement, the lifeblood of the broad worldwide terrorist monster. And a great deal of that, Nino, does actually flow ultimately from the BIS back to the state of Israel.
You know, folks, just ask yourself a question. How does a group of, a dozen or so paragliders penetrate the Iron Dome, folks? That's all Israeli intelligence right there. Group of paragliders, October 7th, 2023, penetrate the Iron Dome and kill 1,000 or so Jewish people. Folks, come on, open your eyes. Right, Eshi?
Absolutely. And if we're going to remark on that particular incident, you know, one thing I want to highlight just for the broader audience base out there, we have video footage and at least one testimony recorded now. It's been buried. The video is hard to find online. But it emerged shortly after the October 7th event, showing that it was Israeli attack helicopters in addition to individuals on scooters and paragliders that attacked that festival and were shooting at innocent civilians in the process.
So we've either lost Stu Peters' audience right here or gained them right here. Right here, Donald J. Trump, I absolutely love that Colbert got fired. His talent was even less than his ratings. I hear Jimmy Kimmel is next, has even less talent than Colbert. Greg Gutfeld is better than all of them combined, including the moron on NBC who ruined the once great Tonight Show. This says a lot to me that things are happening behind the scenes, right, SG? I mean, for Colbert to step down... says something's happening behind the scenes. And for him to say, I hear Jimmy Kimmel's next, I don't know. Maybe the Epstein list is being used as a leverage. What's your thoughts, SG?
Well, you know, I don't want to speculate too far out on that.
Go ahead and speculate.
What I can say for certain is that, you know, Trump coming out and saying, I heard that he's fired. I hear this other person is next. It doesn't get much more obvious than that, Nino. This is the same guy who said on the campaign trail that we're going to move Hollywood from Los Angeles to Nevada, probably Las Vegas, right? Hollywood, as I highlighted earlier, and I want to keep highlighting that this is relevant in the present day and time. Hollywood has been used as a forward operating base for the intelligence community to commit much higher levels of criminality than simple human smuggling. And I don't want to diminish human smuggling because human slavery is grotesque. And is probably one of the more salacious levels of criminality that you can commit. But when we talk about multi-state threat actors, we're talking about things like arms dealing. We're talking about smuggling of biological agents. It was in 2018, if I'm not mistaken, that the U.S. Army Special Operations Command dropped a helicopter out of the sky broad daylight. I think it was a Monday morning and stormed a building brought a few body bags out of that building after just a few minutes, and then proceeded to basically fly off. And the helicopters landed right there on the street. It later came out online. Some researchers were postulating that what had occurred there was interception of a biological attack that was going to be put into the water supply of the greater Los Angeles area. While we can't confirm that, we can go ahead.
No, and SG, with you saying that, I'm going to also say that here on the border, because I'm on the border, ladies and gentlemen, I've been hearing from the Border Patrol, Customs, that they're intercepting a lot of stuff trying to get through right now. Biological agents, military-grade weaponry, it's all trying to get through. And you got to think to yourself, what's actually, they're intercepting a lot of stuff, but what's actually getting through? And I think the fireworks are about to begin. As soon as they start going after Brennan, Comey, Obama, Hillary, you better believe the fireworks are about to start, right, SG?
Well, that's exactly where I was going with this. As we look at what's happening in Hollywood is symptomatic of what is going to be exposed inside the U.S. government, because Hollywood's traitorous and treasonous activities at very high levels would not have been possible without cooperation from multiple state government pulpits, as well as Washington, D.C., and various levels of law enforcement, including DEA, Border Patrol, and others, for a long time. So you've got a multi-stage, multi-dimensional act of treason, essentially, that has occurred over a period of decades and is now being not only exposed, but we're trying to unwind it, in my opinion, as we look at what's happening in the present day and time. And so I'm very confident that as we move forward, Nino, we're going to see not only the changeovers in Hollywood, but the changeovers at the government level, the dismissal of Congress people, followed by indictments and arrests and imprisonment. We had a Democratic rep convicted just recently, I think it was today or yesterday, for a felony in, I want to say it was the state of Connecticut. It may have been in the state of New Jersey or New York. It was somewhere in the Northeast. And they face a significant prison sentence now. And of course, that's at the state level, but that's going to move to the federal level in and throughout this process. By the time we get to 2028, this country will be very different.
I think the entire Democratic Party is going to be dismantled and we're going to have a new party. And I think it's only a matter of time before both parties, Republican and Democrat, are completely dismantled and gone. I'm just hoping AI doesn't take over the government. SG, I appreciate you coming on. Folks, I'm filling in for Stu Peters. Hope you like the show a little bit different. I appreciate everyone tuning in. SG, thank you so much for joining me.
God bless all. Stay well.
God bless, folks.
Don't let the IRS rob you. Where is your money going? Over 4 million government credit cards by federal employees were used to make 90 million transactions with no accountability. DOGE has found $4.7 trillion in federal spending that is untraceable or fraudulent. You work hard to pay your bills, and a significant portion of your money is funneled to thieves and fraudsters through the taxes you pay to the IRS. The IRS wants you to feel powerless. Be a slave that shuts up and give them your hard-earned money. But there is a way out of this slavery. Freedom Law School has been teaching Americans for over 30 years that no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. None of their students who have stopped paying have gone to prison or had their bank account or property stolen by the IRS. Go to freedomlawschool.org today to take 7 steps to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. For freedom, go to freedomlawschool.org today.
There's nothing we wouldn't do for our pets. They're like our children. Our friends at Pet Club 24/7 have developed natural products that contain the most potent strain of a mushroom that's been used for thousands of years to help support the immune system. So visit their website today to discover how they're changing the way that pets and their parents are being treated for the better.
Welcome to SPN Store. Gear up and speak for truth. Support uncensored journalism with exclusive SPN merch for the Stu Crew. Limited edition tees, wear your values loud and clear. Exclusive hoodies, stay comfortable while backing the truth. Shop now and stand proud at spnstore.com. Fast shipping, Patriot owned and limited runs. Don't miss out.
In 2020, the globalists showed their hand. The war on small businesses began, and the elites at Amazon, Target, and Walmart got rich while your neighborhood got crushed. Now, these same companies push woke trash, anti-family agendas, and toxic products made in China. And every time you buy from them, you are funding your own destruction. It's time to cut them off. Time to defund the woke machine and take our country back. There is a better way. A privately owned American company is producing over 450 non-toxic, high-quality products right here on U.S. soil. Cleaning supplies, makeup, vitamins, everything your family needs without the garbage. And listen to this. They even have real beef. Farm to table, no mRNA, no chemicals, no globalist trash. Just clean. American Black Angus delivered straight to your door. Obama tried to cancel this company in 2012. Why? Because they support God, family, country. They will never bow to the woke mob, and they'll never sell out to China. The question is, what are you going to do? Go to PatriotCheckout.com right now. Switch your spending. Starve the beast. Support American manufacturing. And together, we will restore the republic.